Galatians. We've been sort of leading up to Galatians by working in Acts a little bit, introductory to Paul, and I'm pleased that Oliver is going to come and share with us a bit more this morning, so I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. Lord, we are so grateful for the many gifts in this congregation, gifts of teaching for children, for adults, gifts of sewing and making clothes and making food and making music. Lord, we pray that you would bless the words that Oliver speaks to us, that you would help us to hear the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Oliver, I think most of you know that. Welcome back this Sunday, and it's good to be here. There's a lot of food downstairs, so I won't take long this morning. So be assured, I won't take too long. But yeah, so the book of Acts, we've been going through Acts, and now we're going to sort of dovetail Galatians along with it. We started Galatians last week. We're going to go a little bit deeper in the first chapter. So I'm going to talk about Acts a little bit and why we're doing this dovetailing. Acts gives us a spiritual history of the launching of the church, the launching of the faith in Jesus Christ from a small provincial sort of sect, group of people who were alongside the existing Jewish faith, to a worldwide phenomenon. And so we see where a group of people who were with Jesus during his public ministry started to spread this word about Jesus and spread the good news or the gospel to those they knew, those around them, in the synagogues. And excuse me. And we learned a lot about how this happened and the different people who were involved in the book of Acts. So part of what I see happening in Acts and what the book of Acts seemed to be looking to accomplish is establishing a historical record of the church. There's a lot of reference and of people, real people and real places. And so we see where the movement happened and who was involved and who did what and when. It gives us some details of major theological markers. The day of Pentecost becomes this marker of when the Holy Spirit descended and indwelt people and was brought to live with us. Other major markers were the inclusion of Gentiles into the community of faith and how that happened, and there are other few markers along the way. We see the spread of the good news, the gospel message, to other parts of the world outside of ancient Palestine. And we see the power of the Holy Spirit as an actor in the Godhead amongst the people. And so the Holy Spirit becomes the very prominent figure throughout the book of Acts. We also see that the gospel and was sort of this unstoppable force. It was a message that kept on and kept moving. And throughout the book of Acts, it continued to spread, even as it faced challenges internally and externally. So we talked about Paul's conversion and some of those incidents. And last week we heard about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, at least the kids heard about that in more details than we did. But a great persecution came upon the church. And around the time when Paul comes on the scene, we see that the believers had to leave Jerusalem because of this persecution. And so they started to fan out. But as you see here, those who had been scattered moved on, and they kept preaching the good news all along the way. And so Paul comes on the scene. He starts preaching and joins the movement, and he really fans out to some very far places. So while Paul is doing this, and we're reading Acts, it's very fast-paced, very fast-moving. Apparently, he's writing letters along the way. And so we get this chance that we had a few times in the Bible to read action and get insight on another side. We get this a few times with something like Exodus and Deuteronomy you can read together, 2 Kings and the book of Isaiah, Ezra and Nehemiah, where there's sort of these parallel stories and you get different perspectives on the same things. So Paul, who was a part of this persecution and was very vigorous and zealous in his persecution of the church, getting sort of arrest warrants to arrest people in Jerusalem, he converts to Christianity and he joins this faith, and this same zeal and drive is brought with him. And the book of Galatians sort of gives us some of that. And we see a very fairly aggressive Paul in the book of Galatians compared to some of his other letters. Paul then becomes sort of a central figure in the book of Acts, and we follow him around as he goes to various places with different people. He traveled to what we now know to places like Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, parts of the Balkans, Greece, and Italy. And while he's doing this, he is communicating with those he met along the way. So there are a few things that we could bear in mind, and these letters became sort of the backbone of our Christian scriptures right now. So a couple of things to bear in mind. So these are the really early days of the establishment of this new faith. It's very heady. People are excited. People are hanging on to certain things. There's a lot of fervor. There's a lot of euphoria. But then there's also this persecution. And so you combine this fervor and persecution. It's a very interesting time. There are those who are faithful Jews who get introduced to relating to God in a very radical new way, different from what they grew up with. They're joined by Gentiles who had their own faith traditions and own belief as to who God or what God is and what we as people should do in response to whoever or whatever they thought God was. And this is all sort of in this giant melting pot. This is all new for the Gentiles as they're being a part of it. But then they are sort of caught up in some of the old stuff or the established beliefs at the times. In relative terms, this is happening in quite a short span of time. It's happening very quickly in relative terms. I mean, it's happening over years, but in the span of someone's life, this is sort of a very dramatic and quick and fast spreading of this new faith. So there were a lot of things to work out, to figure out, and a lot of ways to mature and overcome challenges. And so we see in Galatians some of this working out of some of these challenges as one of the sidebar, and we see this happening, and we can read this in some of the other epistles as well. And quite frankly, 2,000 years later, we're still hashing things out and working through what this means and what this means for us and how we're to live. So the letters become sort of this means of communicating with people, a way of encouraging. Letters become a tool to communicate to people who are new to the faith. And the letters give us an insight into what some of these debates and challenges were. So when you consider that Paul was traveling a lot during this time, he was really an extraordinary guy. So he's moving all over the place, and he's writing these massive letters. And Acts doesn't quite help us because you get this very fast moving. It's like, we were in here, then we moved to there, we moved to there. And somewhere along the line, clearly Paul was taking pause to read and write letters, because in some cases he was responding to letters he had received. But in Paul is sort of this polymath. He's covering everything. And if you read the epistles, Paul, tackles a dizzying array of topics, which when I really thought about it, it's like, this is really insane. Marriage and family, he has advice as to how to raise children. He is tackling gender issues. He's tackling issues of sexuality, ethics, worship practice, how to worship. He's sending fundraising notes. He is resolving disputes. He's encouraging leaders. And he's doing all of this while he's traveling and avoiding jail or being in jail, being beaten up, all sorts of things. So, I'm going to read the second half of that first chapter. I just want to highlight a few. Oh, I'm sorry the font is so small. It looked much bigger on my computer screen last night. Starting at verse 10, Galatians 1. Am I trying to win over human beings or God? Am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I wouldn't be a Christ's slave. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the gospel I preach isn't human in origin. I didn't receive it or learn it from a human. It came through a revelation from Jesus Christ. You heard about my previous life in Judaism, how severely I harassed God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my peers because I was much more militant about the traditions of my ancestors. But God had set me apart from birth and called me through his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach about him to the Gentiles. I didn't immediately consult with any human being. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to see the men who were apostles before me either. But I went away to Arabia and I returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days. But I didn't see any other of the apostles, except James, the brother of the Lord. Before God, I'm not lying about the things that I'm writing to you. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. But I wasn't known personally to the Christian churches in Judea. They only heard a report of me. The man who used to harass us now preaches the faith that he once tried to destroy. So they were glorifying God because of me. So as we go along in Galatians, we're going to get into the dispute and some of the technicalities of what they're arguing about. But I was struck by how Paul characterized the message and the nature of the gospel. In the context of addressing this dispute, he has to defend himself, and we see this, and we'll get into that a little bit more in the chapter 2. But he's really talking about something that's very powerful. And the way he talks about it, that is not of human origin. He says, but God has set me apart from birth, referencing something that was said by Jeremiah, and Isaiah said something very similar, putting himself in sort of the same tradition of the prophets of long ago. And I think this was a deliberate attempt to align himself with this movement and power of God. And so, like I said, one of the themes of Acts is this idea and this of the power of the gospel, just moving. Even when there was internal strife, there was disputes, even when they had to leave Jerusalem, even when they faced persecution, even when there was internal betrayal, the gospel just kept moving. One of the earliest stories in the book of Acts, Peter and a friend of his, I didn't write it down, so I forgot his name, were brought to the Sanhedrin Council. And they were told to stop this. And so the people in the council are trying to figure out what to do. People are listening. There is people responding. And one wise man said this. Again, sorry for the font, so I'll read it. When the council members heard this, they became furious and wanted to kill the apostles. And this being a statement about Jesus being the Lord. One council member, a Pharisee and teacher of the law named Gamaliel, well respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be taken outside for a few moments. Stand outside, let's talk amongst ourselves. He said, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you intend to do to these people. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody, and some 400 men joined him. After he was killed, all his followers scattered. And nothing came of that. Afterward, at the time of the census, Judas the Galilean appeared and got some people to follow him in a revolt. He was killed too, and all his followers scattered far and wide. Here's my recommendation. In this case, distance yourself from these men. Let them go. If their plan or activity is of human origin, it will end in ruin. If it originates from God, you won't be able to stop them. Instead, you would actually find yourselves fighting God." Well, Gamaliel was onto something. This was not of human origin, as Paul says. This is not from human origin. And it cannot be stopped. As Gamaliel was referencing, Jesus, as a sort of traveling evangelist spreading some news, wasn't anything new. We'd seen it before. And there are probably others that it didn't reference. Yeah, we've seen it before. Gamaliel's like, "Nah, don't worry about it. If this is just some guy, you know, we killed him, they'll scatter." But this is not a human origin. The gospel message is a message about God reclaiming his creation. The gospel message is about the good news of God's love for us. It's easy to feel discouraged. It's easy to feel that the gospel or God's message is challenged because maybe some Christian celebrity pastor had some fall or said something that didn't seem to comport with the gospel. It's easy to look back at history and think, how is it that people use the name of Christ to fight wars or to enslave other humans or to discriminate? All these things are true. But the essence of the gospel and the power of the gospel is an unstoppable force. And people continue to be called and brought to Jesus throughout history, throughout the time when Paul was writing this, arguing with people, and throughout slavery and all kinds of things, wars, people are still being brought to Jesus. People are being brought to Jesus today. People will be brought to Jesus tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. This is not of human origin. This is an unstoppable force. In one of Paul's other letters, one of the later ones, when he was in jail and had some time, he says this: "Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the things that have happened to me have actually advanced the gospel. The whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else knows that I'm in prison for Christ. Most of the brothers and sisters have had more confidence through the Lord to speak the word boldly, bravely, because my jail time. Some certainly preach Christ with jealous and competitive motives, but others preach with good motives. They're motivated by love." And I'll skip ahead here. "What do I think about this? Just this: since Christ is proclaimed in every possible way, whether from dishonest or true motives, I'm glad, and I'll continue to be glad. I'm glad because I know that this will result in my release through your prayers and help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, this is probably much later than Galatians, and he's looking back and he's looking at his like, the word of God is on the move, even though I'm here. It's on the move here in prison, and there are people out there continuing to spread it. Some of them are jealous. Some of them want to have bad motives, but the word of God continues to move. And this is what we see and we'll continue to see as we go through Acts. And this is the message that Paul defends so vigorously in Galatians. And so as we go to the tables today, I want you to think about this as a meal, joining God, and sort of as an affirmation that you want to be a part of this force, this part of this movement, that you want to join God in the movement of this good news, regardless of what's going on. And so God invites us to the table to remember him, to honor him, but also to join this movement.